this lesson, and it has been called Pharaoh's Folly. Pharaoh's Folly. And tonight I want to talk about the three compromises. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch us tonight. Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would touch us with your power, Lord, that you would speak to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, we praise you, Lord. We ask you to speak to us, that you would speak through us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, that we would make up in our mind that nothing is going to move us from your will, from your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Put your Bibles down, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In Exodus 5 and 1, Moses first uttered those famous words to the heathen king, or we call him Pharaoh. He said these words, "Let my people go." It was the beginning of one of the world's greatest struggles, a struggle between the strongest nation on earth and a poor, enslaved people that were chosen by God Almighty. Moses was sent by the great I Am to face down Pharaoh and to demand the impossible. And over, Moses would repeat those words, "Let my people go." And as we have studied over the last few lessons of this, we saw this back and forth as God would send plague after plague. There was ultimately 10 before it was all said and done. And every time one of these plagues would come, Pharaoh would relent and say, all right, if you'll get rid of this, I'll change my mind. But then after the plague was gone, he would change his heart again or harden his heart. And he would say, no, you can't go anywhere. And so Moses would come back and repeat the process. And through the water turning to blood and the flies and the lice and the frogs and the hail and the locusts and all the things that they had to endure time after time after time, there was this process of back and forth. But woven into this story of the 10 plagues, you find that Pharaoh offered three compromises to Moses and to the children of Israel. And I want you to know tonight that the enemy will offer you compromises because he doesn't really care if you call yourself a Christian. He doesn't really care even if you come to church every now and then. He doesn't really mind if you lift your hands and you sing your little song and you do your little dance. It doesn't really bother him all that much, because if he can get you to live a little lesser than what you should, if he can get you to compromise, then he will bring you to a place where you will think that you're all right. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation that the church of Laodicea, it turned God's stomach because they were neither cold nor hot, but they were lukewarm. And he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And I'll tell you, the most dangerous place to be in the spirit is where you think you're okay, but you're not okay. Amen. I say all the time, I would love to find just a good old-fashioned sinner. They're hard to find. Has anybody here found a good old-fashioned sinner that just says, I know I'm wrong? No, it's my experience every time I start talking to somebody about the Bible, they say, oh, yes, praise the Lord. And every time they find out I'm a pastor, they, oh, yes, I'm a Christian as well. You know, I couldn't tell by the way you were talking before you found out I was a pastor. And so the most dangerous place to be is to think you're okay and not be okay. And so Revelation says, I would rather you be cold or hot. I'd rather you be all the way in are all the way out. And if I can ever find somebody that will say, yes, I know that I'm wrong, Pastor, and I know that I've got some things I need to work on, but you pray for me. I say, oh, yes, that's the exact kind of person I'm looking for. If I could find somebody that would say, I know I'm wrong, but I'm just not ready yet, or I'm just not sure yet, or you pray for me, I'm like, oh yes, this is exactly what God is looking for, somebody that will be honest. But the enemy wants us as the people of God. He wants us to settle for a lesser relationship somewhere off in the shallows, in the side, in the fringe of the church, and for us just to feel like, all right, well, since I show up every now and then, I'm okay. But God is wanting us to realize that it is all or nothing. Amen. It's in or out. Amen. My pastor growing up always said it is hard to live for God easy, but it's easy to live for God hard. I've never known one person to backslide from a powerful, effective prayer life. I've never known anyone to backslide from a powerful understanding and commitment to the Word of God. I've never known anybody that was fully committed to the church and to the teaching and the doctrine that is presented at the church and the pastor, and allowing themselves to be directed and corrected and touched. I've never known anybody to backslide from that position, but I have known a lot of people that said, oh, Pastor, don't worry about me, or oh, maybe I'll just step back for a little while. I just want to take a little break. I just want to move away for a little while. I may not be around quite as often as you thought I should be, but I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I've noticed a lot of people backslide from that kind of position. Amen. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. And so we see this played out in this story of Pharaoh, Moses, and the Egyptians and the children of Israel as Pharaoh started making compromises. So when God called Moses from that burning bush, Moses answered the call. His task was simple: bring God's people out of Egypt. His message was simple: let my people go. But the journey was anything but easy. God told Moses in advance that Pharaoh would not listen. Amen. He would not respond the way we want him to respond. And true to God's word, Pharaoh's heart was hardened with pride. He would not listen to the words of this crazy shepherd from the backside of nowhere, demanding that Israel be set free. His free labor, his builders, his workers, he would not let them go easily. When Moses turned his rod into a snake, the magicians of Egypt did the same. When Moses turned the water into blood, the magicians of Egypt did as well. When Moses called frogs up out of the Nile, the magicians called frogs of their own. Through all of this, Pharaoh was unimpressed. But somewhere along the way, some cracks began to form in Pharaoh's resolve. At the first, he was not willing to give in at all, but rather made the burden of the Hebrews worse. The more these plagues were put on them, the more he put hardness on them. He put greater demands on their daily schedule. He took away their stuff they needed to make the bricks, and they had to do it themselves. And so Pharaoh began to play this game with Moses called, let's make a deal. And over the course of these 10 plagues, Pharaoh offered Moses 3 compromises that I want to talk about tonight. God wanted Israel out of Egypt, and ultimately he wanted Egypt out of Israel. I've said it many times that it took God just a little while to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. So God wanted them to be different. He wanted them to be set apart. He wanted them to be removed because he had made a promise that he was going to give them the land that Abraham walked through, that Abraham saw. He had made a promise, and so he had to fulfill that. And so Pharaoh offered compromises to Israel. And I'll tell you again tonight that the enemy of your soul will offer you the same compromises. And since I have the young people here tonight, I want you to hear me. There is no other life that you need to live except for the church and the life the Bible offers you. Oh, it looks good out there. It looks fun out there. There's some things that feel like pleasure, but oh, the pleasures of sin for a season are just that. They are just for a season. They will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay, and it will bring you to a place of pain and suffering. If you want a good marriage, if you want a good home, if you want a good life, dedicate yourself to God, and God will bless your life. Even in the bad times, he will be there. And your worst day in the church will be better than your best day in the world. Better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your purity. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your joy. Don't let the enemy talk you out of your worship and your commitment. Amen. Young people. Amen. Students in Hyphen, hear me. Don't let the enemy talk you into a relationship outside of the altar of the church. If you need a husband, you find one right here committed in the altar. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Young men, find a godly girl that loves purity, that loves holiness, that loves modesty, that will dress the way the Bible tells her to dress, that will value herself much more than a single night out in somewhere, backside of nowhere, where nobody can see, but she values herself more than that. You find one that is precious above rubies, and your life will be blessed. Amen. Hear me. Because the enemy wants you to sell out. He wants you to compromise. He wants you to think that your pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. He wants you to be convinced that your pastor is old-fashioned and closed-minded. And he's right. I am old-fashioned. I am closed-minded. Because my mind is wrapped up in the Word of God, the principles that you need to live for joy and peace and contentment are found in this. Amen. Not outside this. We are narrow-minded in a lot of ways because this is a narrow way. This is a straight way. Hallelujah. I've got my eye on a prize, and I don't want anything to take me away from it. Amen. Hear me tonight. This is the only way. This is the great way. Why would you want to live any other way? I say it all the time. I wish everyone in the world could live the blessing that I get to live. I wish everyone in the world could lay their head down at night and have the contentment and the peace of God that I have, even in the most stressful times, even in the most troubled times. I lay my head down and I know that if the Lord takes me before the morning comes, that I will die in Him. And oh, I will gain more than I will lose. And so there's no greater life than that. Hallelujah. In the ups and the downs, the blessing of the church, the blessing of God, the blessing of the Word of God is so much greater than the false, empty promises of the enemy. Amen. I've watched people compromise the doctrine, and they trade truth for a lie, and they think they're all right. And I reach for them, and they look at me, and they say, Pastor, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I say, I'm praying for you. And they, oh, I'm okay, Pastor. I'm praying for you too. It's nothing that grieves my heart more than somebody that won't be reached. Amen. Praise God. Stay sensitive. Stay sensitive. Stay compliant. Stay willing to be corrected. Amen. And so the first compromise that he offered Israel, he said, you can go and worship, but don't go very far. In Exodus 8 and 25, Moses proclaimed to Pharaoh that God had called the Hebrews to travel 3 days in the wilderness. This was a test to offer sacrifices unto God. 3 days would have taken them outside of the frontier of Egypt and outside of Pharaoh's direct control. To this, Pharaoh replied, well, you can go sacrifice to your God in the land, he said. In other words, I will consent to your making sacrifices, but you cannot do it away from here. You must do it where I can control you. I will not let you travel out of my sight, but you can go. Just don't go as far as God told you to. Oh, come on now. The enemy of your soul doesn't mind if you come to church every now and then. He doesn't mind if you play patty cake for Jesus every now and then. He doesn't mind if you talk a good game. He doesn't mind if you can act the way that the Bible tells you to act, but then in your heart and your mind, you're so far from him. He doesn't mind that, but oh, he wants you just to live as close to the world as you can live and still represent what you think you ought to represent. And so the compromise that Pharaoh, that the enemy of your soul wants you to make is go on, but don't go very far. Oh, you're going over the line. You're getting fanatical. You don't have to be that crazy. You don't have to be that committed. You don't have to be that faithful. It doesn't matter if you miss every now and then. It doesn't matter if you partake of some things of the world every now and then. Oh, your pastor is just, he's legalistic. He's just old-fashioned. But Moses refused to compromise the distance that they would travel. He told them, he said, we will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. We will do what God has told us to do. But Pharaoh requested, no, just stay a little closer. He's thinking, hey, let's compromise. Everyone wins, right? You get to sacrifice and I get to keep an eye on you. And so what Pharaoh did not realize and what Moses knew is that 3 days was not about service. 3 days was not about sacrifice. 3 days was about separation. It was about separation from the world. It was about a people that loved God more than they loved the world. And separation is non-negotiable. That's why we talk different. That's why we look different. That's why we dress different. Amen. That's why we go some places and we don't go others. That's why we commit to the things that the Bible teaches us and we shun the things that are of the flesh. And so here we are tonight. We refuse as way of life. We refuse as hyphen young adults. We refuse as sin students to compromise the way we worship. We refuse to compromise our lifestyle. Amen. I'm all about new methods. I'm all about that. We ought to do the best we can. We ought to have the best of everything. We ought to make it look good. We ought to have it all in order. We ought to have it done decently in order. We ought to have everything right in its place. But I'll tell you, if the move of the Spirit is not the center of everything we do, we need to quit. If the power of God is not the center of everything we do, we need to quit. If separation is not a part of our lifestyle, we need to quit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Amen. We have been called to be different. We've been called to be separate. Amen. We have been called to be peculiar, precious in the sight of the Lord. Amen. We're not going to just go a little ways. We're going to go all the way with Jesus. To Moses, separation was not optional. He said, we will go as far as God has called us to go. Separation from this world is not a suggestion. It's not a negotiating point and not a battle that the church can lose. But we here at Way of Life have decided to draw a line in the sand. And it is defined by the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. And we are going to live them. We are going to teach them. We are going to love them. We are going to preach them. And we're going to require them of our leadership. Because there's safety. There's safety. There's a place. There is a highway called holiness that we will walk. The lion's roar is not heard there. The buzzards do not fall on their prey there. Amen. It is a place of safety because it is a place within the realm of God's protection. Had Moses compromised there, Israel would have never escaped Egypt's cruel bondage. If we want to be a place where people can escape the cruel bondage of this world and the dangers of sin, we cannot compromise our separation. If God says 3 days, we go 3 days. Amen. If he says separate, we stay separate. Amen. The next compromise that Pharaoh made was leave your families behind. He said, leave your wives and your children. Let your men go worship. And so the second compromise was found when Pharaoh asked Moses who would go with him to sacrifice. And Moses said, our young and our old, our sons and our daughters, our flocks and our herds. We're taking everybody, he said. But Pharaoh offered them a compromise. The way is too hard for the little ones. There is evil before you if you all go. Only take the men and leave your wives and your little ones behind, and I will let you go. Parents, Satan is a businessman, not a gambler. He is not concerned if you go follow the Lord, as long as you leave your children and your family behind. Those are numbers he will accept. Those are terms that he will agree to. There is a compromise that he will offer every time. And all too often we have mortgaged our future by neglecting our children. We don't neglect them by just not feeding them or clothing them, but sometimes we neglect them by not saying no. Come on. That's one of the best words you can use as a parent is no. Not in my house. Not as long as I live. Not as long as I'm paying the bills. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm old-fashioned. I told you that already. But often we have mortgaged our future by neglecting our children. Parents accept the rigors of serving God, but then try to protect their children from the same. Parents pray, but don't teach their kids to pray. They fast without ever inviting their children to join them. Parents go to church but will allow any excuse to leave the kids behind. Oh, they've got a test. Or, oh, they're tired. Oh, they don't really feel like it. Or, oh, hey, this person hurt their feelings. Or this person did this. And you coddle them. I'm telling you, my daddy said, hey, you'll get over it. Amen. And guess what I said to my kids? You'll get over it. Well, so-and-so doesn't like me. Well, tough. Guess what? The whole world is going to be like that. Your whole life, you're going to have to get used to people not liking you. You're going to have to get used to people not being as nice as they should. You're going to have to get used to tough situations. You're going to have to get used to awkward situations. Because life is filled with them. If you're going to have a job, if you're going to have a boss, if you're going to have co-workers, you got to learn to roll with it. You got to learn to smile when you don't want to smile. You got to learn to work when you don't want to work. You got to learn to pray when you don't feel like praying. You got to learn to worship when you don't feel like worshiping. And guess what? I'll tell you how you teach your children that. You tell them, hey, tough, get up. I love you, and I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to help you, and we're going to get through this together, but we're still going to go to the house of God. We're still going to love people. We're still going to pray. We're still going to fast. We're going to get over it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. One old preacher said, you can tell what a minister really believes by what he allows his children to do. Parents, don't embrace holiness without teaching it to your children. The Bible still says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God does not call you to do something without calling your family to go with you. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to your children's children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want you to know that this promise is for all of us, not just for us as parents, but it is for my children. I want my children to understand what it means to be in the Spirit of God. I want them to know what it means to weep and to speak in tongues and to lay out on the floor in the altar. I want them to know how it feels to be drunk in the Spirit. I want them to know how it sounds when tongues and interpretation goes across the sanctuary and a holy hush falls on the congregation. I want them to know what it's like to walk in holiness and purity without shame and regret. I want them to know that, and I want you to know that tonight. And so parents, you are the greatest force on earth for shaping the next generation. The church cannot do it without your help. Therefore, I call on you to center your world around the church. Build your calendar around the church. Build your plans around the church. Schedule your life around the church, because the church is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom of God. And this is where you touch the church. This is where you touch the kingdom. This is where you see the work of the kingdom in the house of God. Number two, I tell you to read, study, live, and talk about the Word of God to your children. There's no greater joy that I have than my son calling me and talking to me about a sermon that he's putting together. There's no greater joy as a father than for my son to ask for my pointers on what he's got from God. How do you think I should say that, Dad? Or do you have some scriptures that would add to it, Dad? There's no greater joy than that. And so today, whether you're a pastor or whether you're just a beautiful, wonderful, highly exalted saint of God, which I love the saints, read, study, live, and talk about the Word of God to your children. Number three, honor your pastor by allowing him to pastor your children. The greatest honor you can give me is by allowing me to pastor your children. Let them know that I am their pastor, that they do respect authority. Amen. It'll bless them. It'll bless them. Amen. I know for a fact there were some times that my parents thought that my pastor may have been a little harsh, a little hard on me. But you know what? I never heard it. I never heard it. When he corrected me, my daddy would say, all right, that's what you need to do. He did the same thing with teachers at school. The teachers at school said something, that's what you need to do. And if I got in trouble there, we used to get corporal punishment at school. That's what's wrong with the world today, is we don't get corporal punishment at school. I'm old-fashioned. I already told you that. But if I got it at school, they sent a note home for me to get signed. And I got it at home, too. Because my daddy wanted me to respect authority. What a world it would be. Amen. God bless you. Old-fashioned. But honor your pastor by allowing him to pastor your children. Amen. Number four, let your children hear you pray. Let them hear you repent. And let them hear you worship. Number five, let them join in while you give your time, your talent, and your treasure to the house of God. Number six, this is so important. Hear me tonight. Hear me. Number six, live the same life at church, in public, and at home. Because children recognize inconsistency. They're like an inconsistency detector. Bing, 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 bing. It just, their alarm goes off. And so live the same life at church, in public, and at home. Amen. Number seven is so important. Be a witness. Be a soul winner. Be a disciple maker. Invest yourself. Parents, invest yourself into the kingdom and show your children how to do it as well. And I say this, there is no surefire formula for raising children to live for God. I've seen some of the greatest parents and some of the most godly people have children not live for God. And so I do not tell you that there is a surefire formula for raising them to live for God, because they have to make a choice of their own ultimately. However, I will say, if you neglect, if you denigrate, if you devalue the role of the church or your pastor by your actions or by your words, you will minimize their chances of kingdom success, and you will maximize their chances of being lost. Hear me. You will minimize their chances for kingdom success, and you will maximize their chances of being lost if you neglect, denigrate, devalue the role of the church, the role of the pastor in their lives. God help us. Amen. The last compromise that Pharaoh made to Moses and children of Israel, he said, just leave your herds, your cattle behind. Or let's put it this way, just leave your sacrifice. And so the final compromise was found in Exodus 10 and 24 when Pharaoh said, go and serve your God. Take your wives and take your children and take your elderly and take the young. Take what you need, but don't take the sacrifice. Don't take your flocks and your herds. And so what Pharaoh was telling them is, hey, you can go and you can serve the Lord as long as you leave behind your worship, as long as you leave behind your commitment, as long as you leave behind all of the sacrifice that the herds would represent. And so Moses said, no, we will not leave. In our text tonight, he said, not one hoof is going to be left behind. I'm not going to leave it behind, because we're going to worship, and we don't know until we get there what God is going to require, and we're going to give everything He requires. We're going to offer it all, because when we get there, we're going to worship Him with all of our heart, not just a portion. And so the enemy of your soul will let you serve the Lord as long as you don't do it wholeheartedly, as long as you don't give him everything, as long as you don't surrender it all. But oh, my Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that when he finds a pearl of great price, that he goes and he sells all.
Amen.
It's a big little word. All. And he goes and he purchases it and he comes rejoicing. The kingdom of God is like a man that finds a treasure in a field and he hides it and he goes and he sells all. All. He sells all and he purchases the field. Notice he didn't just get the treasure, but he bought the lifestyle. He bought it all. He moved in to where the treasure was. I'm telling you, if you really want the things and the blessings of God, don't just look for the treasure, but look for the lifestyle, because the joy is so much greater than just the little blessings. But there is something so powerful about moving your whole world, your whole life into the church and saying, hey, this is not just something we do, but this is who we are. This is not just an appointment on the calendar, but it is our calendar. This is not just something we say we are, but it is everything we are. And so Moses said, no, there shall not a hoof be left behind. So to Pharaoh's final compromise, Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're not willing to compromise one single little lamb. We're not willing to leave behind one solitary calf. We're not willing to leave behind one lone goat or one lone donkey. Not one hoof. And so tonight, I tell you on this first Wednesday, this last night of Pharaoh's folly, as we talked about the great powerful exodus that God brought for Israel and how he brought the terrible plagues and he brought them out with a high hand and he brought them across the Red Sea and he destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. Let me finish this series this night, that not one thing will we surrender. We're not going to leave it. God said he would never leave us or forsake us. And so I'm taking that hoof with me. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. That hoof is coming too. It is a promise that we can speak to our mountain and they be moved away. That's a hoof I'm not willing to lose. Jesus said he would deliver us from addictions and heal us of diseases. I'm not about to leave that power of God behind in Egypt. Peter said, for the promise of the Holy Ghost is for you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. And as a pastor of this church, as the leader of this congregation, I tell you, I'm not willing to leave that behind. We're not going to trade it for some patty cake for Jesus or for some beautiful production, but we are going to have the power of God. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have sacrifice. We're going to have fasting and giving and loving and building and reaching. Man, we're not going to leave one thing undone. Could we stand? The musicians come. Amen. Could you just declare with me today, not one hoof. Not one hoof. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to negotiate. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. And so today I stand before you and proclaim that the promises of God are for us. Forgiveness and mercy are yours if you will just accept it. Healing can be yours if you have faith to receive it. But most of all, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, can be yours tonight. The promises. We refuse to leave anything behind. Amen. I said this earlier, but the sad thing is that it didn't take very long for God to get Israel out of Egypt. But it took a long, hard process. In fact, there was some, Brother Baker, that didn't make the trip. They died in the wilderness because they were unwilling. They were unwilling to go all the way. They were unwilling to trust God. They were unwilling to give themselves to the things of the Spirit. And so here we are tonight on this first Wednesday. We refuse to give in to Pharaoh's folly. We're not going to compromise who we are. We're not going to compromise our sacrifices. We're not going to compromise our lifestyle. Amen. We're going to live it. We're going to proclaim it. We're going to show our children the way. Amen. This dream team that we're talking about, young people, this is not just for adults. We want you to be involved. There's a place for you in the ministry. There's a place for you in the kingdom. You don't have to wait until you get to a certain age. You don't have to wait until you get everything right in line. There's a place. There's a place. Because this is the most important thing on the earth. Because the church is the only thing getting out of here alive. Amen. This altar's open. Could we come? Could we come? Could we just decide? Could we tell the enemy tonight? Not one hoof. Not one compromise. Not one. Not one. We're moving forward in the Spirit. We're going to redouble our efforts. We're going to surrender ourselves all over again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Know what it feels like.
Yes, hallelujah.
Heaven touches earth and I'm calm. In between.
Oh,
I want to know what it feels like.
In Jesus'
glory
name.
Of the Lord to
in
fall.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Fall on me.
Oh,
take
me there. Take me there.
Take
me there. Hallelujah.
Take me.
Yes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Take me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to know what it feels like when heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between.